One of the things that I've noticed through my own life is that most of the time, my way of thinking in its original state is wrong. I'm learning that lesson, and still sometimes that's the case. And so I've found it much better to go through life thinking God's way. If you just learn to live your life by biblical principles, things come out a lot better. I've really learned that. And I think that's good for all of us to learn. Sometimes we get to learn the easy way. You know what the easy way is? Studying the book. Sometimes we learn the hard way. You know what the hard way is? Doing it our way, finding out it doesn't work, and then going to the book and finding out the right way. See, it's just twice as much work that way. We might as well just do it the right way the first time, amen? All right, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, James chapter 2, we're going to read verses 12 through 26 tonight, 12 through 26, and go through several of these verses. I don't think we're going to get through the end, but we'll see. Beginning in verse 12, I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that he showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So far in chapter 2, we've been talking about partiality, about being impartial. And it's really talking about our Christian behavior. Okay? If you want to kind of give it a general topic here, how should we behave ourselves as Christians? And we've talked about how we deal with people and how we think about people. And it also talks about how we think about ourselves in our own life. Like in verse 10, it says, For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so we get down here to verse 12, and he's continuing to talk about these things. And he says that we're being judged by the law of liberty. And you understand that this is really a foundational thing of how we need to think, how we need to behave, how we need to live, and it's got to be by this book. Okay, so please don't misunderstand. James is not arguing that there's a difference between faith and works. That is not the argument. Okay, what he's saying really is that faith has substance. Okay, now, how many of you can think of a verse that kind of helps us with that? Now, faith is the... Okay, there's a substance to it. How many of you understand the term empty words? Okay, when someone says that they're using empty words, they're just talking and there's nothing behind it. Okay, it's a do what I say, not what I do kind of mentality. All right? So if you'll think about this topic as we get into verse 14, where James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So here's the thing that really makes this so simple. Saving faith is not just saying you believe, but actually believing. There's substance to it. Does everybody understand that? You can't just say, "Christ, I believe in you," and then not even believe in him. Does that make sense? Because you said, but I said I did. Okay, but nothing that you are doing in your life is backing it up. So you know what that is? It's empty. It's empty. So we have to understand that this thing of Christianity, this thing of living a Christian life, this thing of having salvation is a thing of substance. Now please understand, the substance doesn't make you saved, it just proves that you really meant what you said. That's what the substance is. Okay, it's the proof that's in the pudding. Yes, amen. Okay, so that is what this whole concept is about. Now, here's the kicker for all of it. You and I are not the ones that determine the substance. God does. Okay? God does. He says, yes, what you're saying is real. I don't get to judge that. And you don't get to judge that in my life. You know what? I can say that I got saved when I was a boy, and that I know I'm for sure I'm going to heaven. And you say, okay, well, let's judge you by your works. Well, if you were to judge me from my works from the age I was from age 18 or 8 and a half, nine years old, somewhere in there, until I was about 19 years old, you'd say I wasn't saved. And then from about 19 until now, about 46 or so, I've done a lot better. Okay? But do you understand that just because you don't have works doesn't mean you're not saved? Please understand that. But it does help us to see that you really meant what you said when you said you trusted Christ. So that's what this whole thing is all about. And you have to understand that God's the one ultimately that judges. Because there are going to be some in the last days that say, "Lord, Lord, you know, we prophesy in your name, we cast out." He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Okay, those are those that said they had faith, but there's nothing there. Okay, so you understand that ultimately, he's the one that's going to make that judgment. You understand that God's the one that knows whether or not your name is written in Lamb's Book of Life. And let me say something to you also. You know too. You really do, deep down. Because if you don't, then you need to know. Okay? Because 1 John 5 says these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? So we know these things. Now, I have had people that have lived life in doubt that have talked to me. I have people that have said, "Well, am I really saved? Am I really born again?" And listen, we need to figure that out. And we need to know by principle that we have the ability to believe on the name of the Son of God. That's something we are able to do. And we can apply that faith to our life. And you know what that faith applied to our life yields? Good works. Okay, it yields these things. It yields because you know what I do is I say, "Hey, I'm going to yield to you, God, because I believe on you, because I've given my life to you. So now I'm going to do what you want me to do instead of what I want to do." Why? Because I really believe.
Why? Because I have faith. And so that's what all of this answers for us in just really in a nutshell. He illustrates in verse 15 by saying this, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Hey, that's a nice gesture. That says, hey, I care about your circumstance. I care about you. Right? That's what these people are saying. He says, hey, someone that you should care about comes to you. You say, I care about you, but then you do nothing to help them. What does that mean? That means you really don't care about them. Oh, but I do care about them. Then why didn't you help them? Well, it's going to be too inconvenient. Well, then you really don't care about them. See, this is really easy. We deal with this in our lives on a day-to-day basis. How many of you can think of something that you say every day that you really don't mean? Lots of things, right? Yeah. How about this one? Hi, how are you today? You really don't want to know. It's just something we say. Now, when I say that to you, I really do want to know, okay? I want to know how you are, and I'll hopefully sit there and listen, and then maybe do something about it by way of praying for you or trying to help you. And everybody, you all know me. I'm kind of a helper. That's kind of what I do. And so maybe that's why some of you don't tell me some of the things that you want done, because you know I'll come do them for you. But I still want to help. I want to do it if I can. Now. But we all say things that we really, really don't mean, but we say them, yes? Okay, that's faith without works. It's vain, it's void, it's empty, there's nothing to it. He says, so you say this to these people, but yet you don't give them the things that are needful. What good is it? What doth it profit? We say, well, it makes them feel supported. No, you want to know what makes them feel supported? Clothes and food. Not your kind, empty words. Now, maybe the first time that you tell them that, it will make them feel good. But when they're still cold and naked, and all you say to them is, well, I hope you get some food and some clothing soon. Pretty soon, what are they going to think about you? They really don't care if I'm cold and without clothing. And without food. Because all you do is just say it. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. Think about this. Think about a Christian that says they're a Christian but never lives one day as a Christian. What are people going to think eventually? Not a Christian. Now, can you blame them? Not really. So this is what James is saying. He's saying, look, we've kindled a fire here in Jerusalem. We've got something going here, and we have something going, and according to Acts chapter 2, we know that they began to sell things, they began to meet together in house to house, they got to share things, people were going and selling land, they were giving it to everybody to share so that everybody had their needs filled, everybody had their bellies filled, everybody had clothing to wear, everybody had learning and instruction daily and from house to house, breaking of bread, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I mean, this was a great thing. And now the church is being broken up, scattered abroad, and he's saying, don't stop this. Don't stop this thing that kindled so great a fire here in Jerusalem. Take this fire and rekindle it everywhere you go. Live your Christian life daily. Faith without works is dead faith. What good is dead faith? Last I checked, the Bible says that we are lively stones. You know what a lively stone does? It lives. You know what dead faith doesn't do? It doesn't live. Jesus Christ is the head of the corner. He is the chief cornerstone. He is life and light to this dark world. Why would we want to be dead? The only thing that we're supposed to be dead to is our flesh. It's to our sinful nature. To the old man. We're supposed to be alive in the spirit. You know what that is? Living faith. Living faith. So James says these things, he illustrates them, and he says in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So think about this as he's talking about these things. Good works alone is no good. Did you know that lost people can do good things? They can. Did you know that lost people can go soul winning? Whoa. I just hit some of you in the head with 2x4. Listen, I guess he just raised his hand, so I know another guy. But I knew a guy in Bible college that went soul winning. Grew up in a good church. Actually, grew up there at the church where we were at. Went soul winning. Was a bus captain. I mean, this guy was a soul winning soldier. About his sophomore year of Bible college, he figured out he was lost. Got saved, which is great. So does that mean that all the hundreds of people that he won to Christ weren't really saved? No. Because what saves a person? The soul winner? No, the Word of God does. Hey, listen to me. So you can have good works and be on your way to hell. And you can say you have faith and be on your way to hell. Do you understand this? Does this make sense? Because so we're just dissecting what James is really saying. Because here's why we're doing this. Because there's a lot of doctrines out there, there's a lot of churches out there that can't figure this out. And it's really not that hard. Ultimately, God is the judge. All you can do is believe me when I tell you that I'm born again. And you know what? The things that I do, they help evidence that. You understand? But my evidences, nor the words that I say, in your eyes, make me saved. Do you understand that too? Christ knows about my condition. And Christ knows about yours. But what are we supposed to do? Be an example. We're supposed to be an example. If we are born again, like we say we are, then we should live a life that matches that faith. That matches that belief. He goes on and he says in verse 19, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. He says the devils also believe and tremble. Did you know that Lucifer believes that there's a God? Did you know that Lucifer believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He knows he is. But is Lucifer going to end up in heaven? No. We know in the book of Revelation, or because of the book of Revelation, he's going to end up in the lake of fire. That's just how it's going to be. We say, why? Because he has no faith. So it's not about just saying, it's that substance that we're talking about. So he says in verse 20, he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now, when James asks that question and makes that statement, James is not judging these Christians. Please understand. He is simply trying to pass on a principle. It's a principle. What is it? Why is this principle important? Is it important so that I can see if you are saved? No. Is it important so that you can see if I am saved? No. It's important so that we see our salvation how God sees our salvation. That's why it's important. It's important so that I, as a professing Christian, live as a professing Christian. That's why it's important. So that I follow the example of my Savior. So that I, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, live in the good works that Jesus wants me to live. Remember, I've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works that I should walk in them. See, this perspective is not to judge others whether or not they're saved. This perspective is so that I live the kind of life that God wants me to live. And James is telling the church, you have been lit on fire. You have been, those embers have been kicked and scattered abroad. And we're supposed to be popping up more fires all over the place. And the only way we're going to do that is if we have live coals. Oh. You know what live coals do? They start more fires. You know what dead coals do? Nothing. They don't do anything. Faith without works are dead coals. They're dead stones. They don't do anything positive. They just sit there. Well, it looks like a coal, but it's not glowing. It's not alive. It's not going to start a fire. It's dead. So you know what? I don't have to worry about it. Do you know what to worry about? I have to worry about a live coal. You know why? Because it's going to start a fire. And that's what we're supposed to do. Let me read some scriptures to you as we think about some of these things tonight. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes and says, we who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen to what Paul says next. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now in Galatians 2, this is a similar thought process to what James is saying about faith without works being dead. In no way, shape, or form is James saying that works save you. Because they don't. He just says they're the substance. They're what show others that your faith is not just empty words. Not just vanity. In Romans chapter 3, Paul writes and says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness
for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him by which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Do you see what Paul's saying? He's saying exactly what James is saying. Or James is saying exactly what Paul is saying. These two are in agreement. They're just helping us understand it different ways. Paul was an ambassador to the Gentiles. James was the pastor of Jews. Each one are trying to understand or have their constituents understand them by their own terms. So we've got to understand they're not fighting, they're not arguing, they're not each making different cases. They're saying the same thing. That the works that we do are the substance that show our faith. Just as much as if you said, hey, pastor, I don't have any clothing to wear this week. Guess what? Guess what pastor is going to do? I'm going to pray for you. That God would provide for you. And guess what? If it's in my power, I better be careful because I might, my microphone's in here. I'm going to give you something also. Why? Because I really do care. I really do want you to be fed. Hey, you know, if I have, let's say, we'll get us there. $10. If I have $10 and I have a buy one, get one free coupon, we both can have a cheeseburger. I won't just pray for you and go eat two cheeseburgers. That's what he's saying, right? That's the illustration. Why? Because I really do want you to be filled. I really do want you to be warmed. I really do want you to have eternal life. I'm not just saying that. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. A few more verses and we'll be done tonight. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes, and says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, don't just pick out different phrases or different verses to try to fit your religion. This is a combined thing. Faith is not alone. Works are not alone. Faith is the substance, right? And it's an evidence. What are those substances? What are those evidences? Our good works. Because if we really believe in Christ, if we really have Christ as our Savior, then we're going to be what the Bible defines a Christian to be. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, that's a Bible definition. That's not a Baptist definition. That's not my definition, and that's not your definition. It's what God says a Christian is. Someone who really believes is going to be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then one more passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Well, I've already gone over that one plenty of times.
the end of that just says this, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You understand that faith is trust, devotion, obedience. Faith is not just a creed. It's the truth. It's life. It's living. Faith does not produce works. Faith that does not produce works is not saving faith. It's just vain speak. Faith produces. True faith provides. It manifests itself. It shows what we really are. That's what faith really accomplishes in us. It's not invisible. You say, I have invisible faith. Well, then you don't have any faith. You can hem-haw around all you want, but faith without works is dead, being alone. So we've got to understand these things. Why is it important for the Christian to understand this? Not so we can see what others are, but so we can prove what we are. We need to be Christians. We need to be righteous, holy, separated, loving, kind, giving, compassionate. All of those things. All of us, because that's what faith is supposed to be. Jesus said, the just shall live by faith.